Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to April 2022, episode 218, The Godfather of Global Warming. If you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible gold and silver, you might want to talk to our partners over at Wise Wolf. Get in their Wolfpack auto-buy program. You can do that at www.macroaggressions.gold. Enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, or Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support to grow this channel, and it's been quite a trip. Hey, if you are interested, speaking of Iconic, if you're interested in checking them out for 10 days for free, nothing needed from you, there's a link in the description that'll take you there. They're doing amazing work. It's been a home for Macroaggression since the beginning of the show. Deeply appreciative of the Ikes for allowing me to be a part of that, and also just for their amazing work over the decades. So if you are interested in checking out what they're doing over there, they're making original content, original movies, original series, nightly shows. I mean, there's a lot going on. It is really like the Netflix of the alternative media. There's a link in the description. You try it before you buy it. You go 10 days and see what you think. Check it out. Why not? Hey, also to our sponsors, C60 Purple Power, man, I'm telling you right now, they are making magic potion over there. I know that the FDA probably wouldn't allow me to say that, but they're doing something right. I mean, they are making the best batch of C60 out there. They use 99.99% sublimated C60. It's never exposed to solvents. It's made with organic oils. It's produced in a FDA compliant certified facility. It's third party tested. It's got free shipping. I mean, it's really worth trying out. Since they sent it to me, God, over a year ago, I've taken it every day. Every single day. It's just a little oil. It's just a spoon of oil. You take it. It doesn't upset your stomach. It comes in a couple different flavors. You got to check it out. So if you are in the market, you can go to shopc60.com. Use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. And I'd say just at least go over there and take a look and see what you think. Ken Schwartz is a mad scientist, man. I've done a bunch of podcasts with him. He's a fun guy. He knows what he's doing. I'm glad he's in charge of making the batch and not me, because he explained to me how they do it and I didn't understand any of it. Not gonna lie. But I'm glad he does. I'm glad he understands it. He's a nuclear physicist, and well, I'm not. So we'll leave it like that. And getting yourself ready. If you're getting yourself ready physically with your body, get yourself ready in other ways as well. One of the companies that has offered us a platform is My Patriot Supply. They built a website for us, preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can check that out. The link will be in the description of this podcast below in case you want to click it there. But otherwise, look, I hate to dwell on this, but until I am certain that all of the listeners out there are ready, well, I mean, as ready as they can be for what's coming, at least the low hanging fruit of like getting yourself food, getting your, you know, storable food, food that will last, starting to think about these things, getting backup batteries and whatever you're interested in, whatever you think you need, whether it's a 4-week supply of food, it's a 3-month supply of food. And not just for the supply chain issues that are most definitely coming, if not here already, but just in case you've got natural disasters or something in your life, you just want to be prepared. Or you just say, listen, I've got some extra money and it's currently being devalued at a rate of, well, an announced rate of 7.5% inflation, but I think that real number is probably triple that. And you want to store that, change those dollars and exchange them for survival food? You know, might not be the worst investment. Not licensed to give investment advice, but I'm just saying, having tangible assets instead of pieces of paper in your wallet that say Federal Reserve notes, you know, might not be the worst thing. So if you are so inclined, you can go to the website, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and see what you think. And also, hey, look, our website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can connect with me there. People send me emails all the time. I get really good suggestions on topics that people are interested in, or talk to this guy or have this woman on. She's amazing. And so I love all that. So thank you guys for making this a two-way street. You know, when I'm, especially on the monologue episodes, you know, you feel like you're talking to yourself, like one step removed from being sent to the nut house. So it is nice to have the feedback I get from you guys online. And I certainly do appreciate that. And one of the things that I really wanted to get into for this episode, well, it's the main topic of this episode, but I've wanted to talk about this for a while. And this is sort of, you know, some of the lesser known supervillains that are out there, or in this case were out there, because the guy we're going to talk about is no longer alive. And by all accounts, my guess is that if there is a hell, this guy is in hell. And that's Maurice Strong. Now, it's a name that most people, it doesn't ring a bell. You go, well, who's Maurice Strong? Maybe you've heard of it, or maybe you've heard James Corbett talk about it. Corbett obviously knows. I think Corbett knows everything, to be honest. He seems to just kind of know it all, but not in a know-it-all sort of way, just in a, I don't know, I just happen to be smarter than everybody. We love James. He's been on the show a couple times, and we appreciate his work. I do think I remember hearing him talk about Maurice Strong before, but I don't recall if he ever did one of those deep dive videos. But if he did, I definitely would go over and find it. But this guy is, he's sort of known as the father of global warming. So I think you kind of know where we're going with this. I mean, you want to talk about Scam City. It's global warming. Now, we've done shows about this. I've done shows on other people's platforms. Tinfoil Hat, I did a show called the Paris Climate Accord, I think was what he named it. I've done an episode here called The Carbon Tax Hustle, where we talked about these cap and trade ideas and the carbon offsets and the sort of the business behind global warming / climate change, whatever you want to call it. But Maurice Strong is well regarded as the guy that really pushed the United Nations to get in the climate scam. Now, the United Nations is involved in a bunch of other scams. So like the climate, you know, so, you know, they like a good con job, especially one that's going to make a lot of money. And the, you know, we've talked about central banking, the central bank, you know, the Federal Reserve, Bank for International Settlements, Bank of England, these groups out there that have what we've considered to be the greatest scam ever, right? You create money out of thin air and then loan it to governments at interest. And then that interest is paid back by the taxes that they raise from the people. So it's like a genius scam. And you know, evil, of course. I mean, to be certain, completely evil. Central banking is a plague on humanity. But if you are a sociopathic, megalomaniacal Bond villain, and you're looking to destroy the world while profiting from it at the same time, and then you can't do much better than central banking until you get to global warming. And then global warming makes central banking look like the opening act, which of course it is. So who's Maurice Strong, and why should we care about this dead Canadian guy? Well, he died a couple years ago, so he's recently dead. And, you know, he's one of those guys that lives to be like 86 or whatever, you know, like one of those evil bastards that never gets hit by a car, never has just a random heart attack or anything like that. Just destroying humanity and lives a long, full life like David Rockefeller and all these maniacs, George H.W. Bush. All friends, by the way, just, you know, no surprise. But Maurice Strong was hired at the United Nations when he was 17 years old. It had just started. The United Nations had just gotten off the ground, and they hired this guy named Maurice Strong. He was an ambitious Canadian kid. He was 17 years old. And David Rockefeller kind of took him under his wing, which is not the right... It's not the wing you want to be taken under. I mean, not if you have any... Not if you want to be a decent human being. But Maurice Strong was not a decent human being. He was a scumbag at every opportunity. And we'll get into some of the details on his scumbaggery. But you can automatically tell. I mean, if it's somebody who's like groomed by David Rockefeller and the United Nations, you just know that that's a bad place to start. So anyway, what they did with him is what they do with a lot of people, is they take them and they place them in a position to allow them to have success. It's not like, you know, oh, I just started this transformational technology company in my dorm room as a freshman in Harvard. I guess I just got lucky. Stop it. Stop the bullshit. Those are fake stories. The Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg origin stories are as fake as anything. And Maurice Strong, in his relationship with David Rockefeller in the United Nations, has a similar thing. He was taken and he was placed in a position of power. They watered him with a lot of UN money and Rockefeller Foundation money. And then, surprise, he has a very powerful energy business happening in Canada in his early 20s. Like, you know, like think about what you were doing in your early 20s. I guarantee you, you were not running like a multi-million dollar energy company in Canada, but Maurice Strong was. And it wasn't because he was super bright and knew all, you know, everything there is to know about energy. Maybe he, you know, I'm sure he knew plenty, but again, this stuff only happens because people make it happen. Rockefellers have the ability to do that. So in the in the 1940s, Maurice Strong was put in a position to start running some of these oil and energy companies in Canada. Started in Canada, wasn't limited to Canada. He eventually branched off, but the companies that he was running in Canada and elsewhere include Petro-Canada, Power Corporation, Ajax Petroleum, Canadian Industrial Oil and Gas, Caltex Africa, Hydro-Canada, Colorado Land and Cattle Company, among others. So, and the Colorado Land and Cattle Company is 200,000 acres of cattle land in Colorado, obviously, that he bought from none other than Adnan Khashoggi, who was an arms trader whose cousin Jamal Khashoggi got put through the meat grinder in a Saudi embassy in Turkey. So they put this guy in, they plant the Maurice Strong seed in Canada in the 40s, water it with plenty of Rockefeller money and influence, and he becomes this multi-billionaire oil and gas guy, oil and power guy. And he doesn't just stay there. He doesn't just stay in that industry. In fact, one of the things that you'll notice is that a lot of these oil guys, Rockefellers, and, you know, like the people that made their fortune in the oil industry, you know, taking from the planet, destroying the planet in the process, you know, polluting rivers, polluting lakes, dumping your toxic byproducts all over the place. You know, these people that are in the oil business, which is a notoriously messy business for the environment, all of a sudden want to tell everyone else how to save the environment. It's just without fail, right? They've come in and they start saying, well, you know, I'm going to show you how this is really going to work. And what we really need to be doing is, well, we need to be, reducing our carbon footprint here because it's bad for the world. And it's like, dude, you've been drilling holes for 4 decades, and then the oil that you take out of it during the refining process, you're dumping that shit into rivers. You're playing bumper cars with the Exxon Valdez, and you want us to believe that you're somehow some humanitarian that gives a shit about the environment? Stop it. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself. We know better than that. But Maurice Strong did the same thing. You know, he came out and he started to really get into this concept of global warming, that if we don't do something, the world is going to end and we're all going to suffocate to death. We're all going to die. Now, again, the interesting part of this, besides the fact that it's about the environment, that these people pretend to care so much about the environment, is that they pretend to care about another thing too, humanity. But they don't. You see, they're always talking about how we have to save the planet, because if we don't save the planet, all of the people will die. But then you go read their writings at the Club of Rome, and their mission statement is, how do we get all the people to die? So excuse me if I don't believe your story that you're going to fix global warming to save all the people, because when I discover your writing, all you write about is how to get rid of all the people. Like, you're obsessed with it. And so that's Maurice Strong's background, right? He was a ambitious guy, got partnered up with the Rockefellers real early on, like had a relationship with them for 70 years. I wouldn't want to have a relationship with the Rockefellers for 70 minutes. But Maurice Strong, you know, he got deep into this. So what does he do? So in 1972, there was something called the Stockholm Conference. And Maurice Strong started something called the IPCC. Now, you'll hear the IPCC from time to time, and you'll be like, what is that? That's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Now, this is a scientific, well, it's a pseudoscientific, if you ask me, but they describe themselves as a scientific intergovernmental body under the that was created by the United Nations. Okay, so working with the UN, which is where Maurice Strong came from, right? That was his first job, was working for the UN. He then goes on to start this IPCC, and the IPCC is, you'll hear it mentioned. You'll hear it mentioned now. Officially established in 1988, It was by two UN organizations, World Meteorological Organization, WMO, and the United Nations Environmental Program, UNEP. UNEP, you still hear, if you're looking for it, you'll see that from time to time when they're talking about climate changes. And so, So then this IPCC was then later endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly. And so what does the IPCC do? What is it? What's their purpose? What does it mean? Well, what they do is they produce a report that supports the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Now, this is the main international treaty about climate change, is this United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. And their ultimate objective is to, quote, stabilize greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere at a level that would prevent dangerous anthropogenic interference with the climate system, meaning man-made. Anthropogenic means human-caused. So I'll read this again. What the IPCC's plan is, again, stabilize greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere at a level that would prevent dangerous man-made interference with the climate system. Sounds good, right? We're going to look into the atmosphere and we're going to measure the atmosphere and we're going to make sure that you are, you know, that we know what the levels of toxic greenhouse gases are and that we don't exceed those levels too much, because if we do, we're all going to be in trouble. And so the United Nations, a global depopulation outfit, is going to watch the sky for you, measure these trace gases, and promise to come back and tell you the honest to God truth about what we're really facing. And then if it's bad, then they're going to be the ones that are going to put in place some rules as to what we need to do or how we need to remake our lives so that we make that level of invisible gases that they're measuring, that we're not allowed to talk about or see the data for, make sure that that number doesn't get any higher and kill us all. Because if we know one thing about the United Nations, they love people. As they are raping and murdering and selling their organs and selling them into sexual slavery in every war-torn country that the UN peacekeepers are injected into. But they love humanity. Just ask them. The organization that was started by David fucking Rockefeller, he loves you. He just wants you to get off of his planet as soon as possible. And if it's not too much to ask, he'd like you to be dead by the end of the day. So I think it's just, I just want to sort of set the framework for who Maurice Strong and who he is, where he came up from, and then we'll start to get into, you know, what's behind his whole thing, what his big scam was. And it's a big one. It's a big one. Okay. So I do find one thing interesting about the IPCC's proclamation about what they're concerned about. It says that they are concerned with preventing dangerous anthropogenic interference with the climate system. So they're concerned, they're only concerned, they're not concerned about interference with the climate system that's not coming from man, like volcanoes, which have a million times, like literally a million times more impact on the climate than humans. They don't care about that. They didn't mention that. They specifically only mention anthropomorphic climate change. Climate change caused by humans. No interest in talking about natural climate change or anything like that. And the reason is because it doesn't have anything to do with climate change at all. If it did, they would be focusing on the primary cause of that, which is natural causes. If you go back and look at carbon levels in the atmosphere, the chart goes up and down and up and down and up and down. It is like for tens of thousands, if not millions of years, or however far back they can map it, Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. All right, but they don't care about that because it's not about that. That's how you can tell the scam. Sometimes when you're looking for the scam, it's the smallest little thing that gives it away. But this mission statement right here gives it away, because if they were truly concerned with climate change and the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, they would care about it regardless of where it came from. But they don't. They are only interested in one form of it, and it is man-made. And the reason they're interested in that is because they can't change volcanoes, but they can change you. And if they get you guilty thinking that you're killing the environment by driving your car or eating meat or going to the store, then they can change you. And that's what they want. They want you under their control. They can't control volcanoes, so volcanoes aren't mentioned, but they can control you. So goddamn, like, it's, where do we like even start with this guy? Okay, I'll start with this. I'll start with the description that they gave Maurice Strong. He was described as a combination of the Wizard of Oz and Dr. No from the James Bond series. So he was the, let's get into this. Secretary General of the 1992 United Nations Climate Conference in Rio. Now, what happened at that conference? There are a couple things that happened there. It lasted for like, it was like 11 days or so. And it happened in Rio in June of 1992. And they rolled out they had a Greta there. They had a young 13-year-old girl who gave this impassioned speech about how we're destroying the planet and she wants to live and grow up in a world and, you know, have kids and not have to, you know, all that shit, right? We all want that. No, nobody's going to say, boo, that's a terrible speech. We all want that. The problem is she's being used as a shield to deflect any sort of criticism again away from these maniacs' real plan. And you notice they use children for that all the time. They used Naraya a year before when they were trying to drum up, or I guess technically 2 years before in 1990, when they used her to, you know, the babies in the incubators and they put it on the cold floor and all that stuff. Yeah, she was coached by Hill and Knowlton. She was the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter. This was a whole PR stunt. It was bullshit, right? But she's a young girl, and you have to be a certain kind of asshole to criticize a young girl when she's talking about what she saw in this hospital where these Iraqi soldiers were killing these Kuwaiti babies, and it was just terrible. And it was all, yeah, I mean, you are going to look like a bit of a dick if you question her. You go, how do you know? How do I know that story's true? Everyone will be like, oh my God, how dare you? You're a monster. Well, it wasn't true. It was bullshit from start to finish. And she knew it. And I don't give a flying fuck if she's 13 years old. She can go fuck herself for doing that. And I understand she's a kid and she's getting manipulated. But that helped to grow U.S. support for this war that was deeply unpopular at the time. And after that event, things spiked and support for the war changed. George H.W. Bush used that and said they were taking my babies and they were killing them. And, you know, and he just exaggerated and embellished off of her lie. And it created a situation in which millions of people died in the first world war, the first Gulf War. Maybe not millions, but hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and others, and I don't know how you measure the damage, but it started because of a lie. Then in 92, at this UN Earth World Summit, they marched out another girl, a new Naraya. Hey, it worked so well the first time. Let's march her out and tell her and have her tell everyone that the world's going to end and that we're going to have polar bears on little skinny ice floes, like floating away, skinny polar bears. What will we do for the polar bears? Polar bears get skinny. They get big, they get skinny. They're lying to you about this. And then we have Greta, who's the new version of this. And how are you going to criticize an autistic teenage girl who clearly has some social anxiety and you know, social issues, right? And you don't want to shit on her, but she's talking about how the world's going to end and she's pulling the same thing. So again, much like Naraya, I say to Greta, you know, with no due respect, fuck off. You know, because what you're doing is going to have a ripple effect. The people that feel terrible about themselves because Greta told them that, you know, these kids, that they'll internalize that and carry that with them for the rest of their lives and then don't have kids because they're convinced they're going to kill the world because Greta Thunberg told them to, when she's completely and utterly being manipulated by these scumbags at the United Nations. So again, the reason why I bring that up is because 1992, that's when this started at this Earth Summit. And what came out of that event was Agenda 21, but launched by the United Nations. And let me tell you what Agenda 21 seeks. They seek to impose global communism. So the United Nations Agenda 21, which is then a subset of that, is Agenda 2030. And what is the World Economic Forum and all these people pushing for? The year 2030. It's not accidental. It's part of this group, okay? World Economic Forum on one side, United Nations on the other side, the Venn diagram of that, there's a lot of guys right in the center, okay? A lot of overlap there. But Agenda 21 seeks to end national sovereignty. No more nations. This is one world government stuff. This is what they want to do. I'm not saying they're going to get there. I'm just saying that this is what Agenda 21 is about. State planning and management of all land resources, ecosystems, forests, oceans, mountains, rivers, lakes, in order to ensure equity. Now, again, if this were Mr. Rogers from our, when we were kids in America, you know, put the sweater on, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, won't you be my neighbor? That sweet old guy who, as far as I can tell, there weren't any scandals in his past. And if you know of any, please don't tell me. I got to have something in my life to cling to, that some person that I don't think is fucking corrupted. Okay. So if you know bad things about Mr. Rogers, please don't tell me, because I'm hanging on to this belief that he was a good guy, right? If he's talking to me about equity, I'll listen. I get the idea that he's talking about, you know, make sure we all the kids have enough graham crackers, and, you know, so that somebody's not left out. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. That's a good, that I like that. However, when the United Nations is talking to me and using the terms equity, you know what I hear? I hear slavery. We're all equal slaves. That's what they want. They'll say equity, and then you'll wind up in some slave plantation, and you'll say, I thought you said we were going to be equal. They said, we never said you were going to, it was going to be a good form of equal. We just said you'd be equal, equally fucked. Agenda 21, they want the state to define the role of business and financial resources. What could possibly go wrong? The state is so good at managing their money. The state is like a redneck that won the lottery. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's not, are you going to crash your Trans Am in a drunken nighttime joyride? The question is, how many Trans Ams are you going to trash? And that's, so putting the state in charge of the role of business and financial resources sounds like a catastrophe for me. But what do I know? I'm not running the United Nations. Okay. They also, in case any of this stuff wasn't already creeping you out, Agenda 21, one of the things that they're trying to do is the abolition of private property. So you remember when Klaus Schwab and his band of merry pranksters said, you'll own nothing. Isn't it funny? Agenda 21, you'll own nothing there too. What a coincidence. Restructuring the family unit. That's currently happening. We've seen that. That would explain part of an explanation as to why the United States House of Representatives in the summer of 2021 made it so that it's now against their rules. I don't know if it's fair to say it's illegal. It might not technically be illegal, but it is against their house rules to use the terms mother, father, brother, son, sister, daughter, grandfather, all the terms that you use to describe the family. So while America was suffering through COVID and the closures of everything and the insanity of that, the United States Congress was getting down to business on some real important things like banning words used to describe the family. And then you look at Agenda 21 and you go, restructuring the family unit. Oh, well, what's next on this list? I mean, it can't be any worse than that, right? Children raised by the state. Okay, so we stand corrected. It can get much worse than just restructuring the family unit. By restructuring the family unit, what they mean is taking your kids from you and raising them in state hatcheries, growing them in state hatcheries at some point in the future, raising them in what, the foster care system, which is so successful here in America. I mean, what does it have, like a 90% sexual abuse rate? No, thank you. I'll pass on that. I'd rather the children be raised by fucking wolves than by the state, to be honest with you. Restrictions on movement. Again, you mean like a lockdown? You mean like that kind of restrictions on a movement? What if they had a climate lockdown? Uh-oh. If we had a climate lockdown, that would fit perfectly in with Agenda 21. Creation of, quote, human settlement zones. This is the reason why the Hunger Games movies are a thing. You want to talk about predictive programming? Holy shit. Like, they want you to think about the possibility of humans all being moved into tighter and tighter areas, get them out of the rural areas and into big, densely packed cities. Like China did in the Great Leap. I mean, yeah, 30 million people were murdered during that, but you know, I mean, mistakes were made, as Donnie Rumsfeld says. They want human settlement zones and they want resettlement. So they want to create the human settlement zones in smart cities. And then they want a forced resettlement. And they want you out of the forest. They want you out of nature. They want you in cities, smart cities where they can monitor and control you. And last on the list for Agenda 21, their Christmas list for Santa is human depopulation. Now, again, if you and your buddies go to a bar and you guys get all hammered and you start talking about, wouldn't it be better if there just were fewer people? That's one thing. It's a crazy conversation to have, but that's one thing. Now, the United Nations talks openly about human depopulation. And I'm going to read you something. This is from my first book, The Octopus of Global Control. And this comes from the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. Like I said, it was June 3rd through the 14th in 1992. The Secretariat for World Order. Holy shit. Seriously? The Secretariat for World Order? Distributed a non-public document titled The Initiative for Eco 92 Earth's Charter. It reads in part under policies that must be implemented as follows. And keep this in mind. This was not public. It's not public, but it's not private either necessarily. Like, they know that this is going to get out. But what it is it gives you a good insight into what they're thinking. So no matter what the sales pitch is and the big Earth summits where they get together and say, we have to all come together and, you know, lock arms and reduce our carbon footprint. We're all going to, you know, and everybody's going to benefit. We'll live in this better world and everything. Okay, that's the sales pitch. That's what you're going to hear at all these conferences. But this is what I want you to know. This is what was written in their document that they gave out to the the people that were in the know that you weren't supposed to find out about, but we found out about it. And it says this: the present vast overpopulation, now far beyond the world carrying capacity, cannot be answered by future reductions in the birth rate due to contraception, sterilization, and abortion, but must be met in the present by the reduction of numbers presently existing. This must be done by whatever means necessary. So, when you read Agenda 21, and the last thing on the list is human depopulation, and you go, "Eh, can't be right," I just want you to remember that this is what they're talking about. And they're not talking about slowing growth rates. They were very specific about that. We've slowed the growth rates as much as we can. We're not talking about that. We're talking about issues that must be met in the present, not the future. And they're saying that their main goal is the reduction of numbers presently existing, not future babies, not future generations. I'm talking about human beings that are living right now. And the United Nations is saying we got to get rid of them, and it must be done by whatever means necessary. So again, why aren't these people being taken down to the police station and beaten with rubber hoses until they confess to a global plan for genocide? Because I'm not making this up. And I fully recognize I sound like Alex Jones right now. Well, we got the documents. We got the globalists. But like, this is what they're putting out. It's not my fault for reading it. It's not my fault for like being offended and like concerned. And frankly, why isn't everybody? I think the answer is because people don't know. People don't know. They go, well, the United Nations, they're out there uniting nations together, right? That sounds like a good thing. Aren't we all supposed to come together? It's like, yeah, they're united nations into a one world government. And once they get that all figured out, then they're going to kill you. If they don't already, because it's on their list of things to do. Yeah, it's at the bottom of the list, but that doesn't mean they're not going to get to it or haven't already started the process of getting to it. So there's a component to this Agenda 21 that I think people need to also remember. This is a global plan, and global plans don't always work that well because they don't get implemented on the local level. And the United Nations, for all of their psychopathy, and it's filled to the brim, they aren't dumb. They might be evil, but they're not dumb. So they've thought about that. And so what they've decided is that they're going to need help on the local levels to implement all of this nonsense. And so they've come out with an institution called the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. It has an acronym that does not flow off the tongue. ICLEI. That's what they use. You probably have never heard of this, or if you did, you just glossed over it because it doesn't necessarily jump out at you. But this is the Local Government Sustainability from the United Nations. This is the UN on a local level. It doesn't say United Nations in the title anywhere. It just calls itself the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. Well, what are those initiatives? They're the UN's initiatives. They're just local versions of it. So it's from the UN, and this is how they're going to be implementing these massive changes. First at the top with the big parent company, and then down all the way to the local level. The vice chair of the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives had the following to say, in case there was any confusion about what these guys have planned for us. He said, individual rights must take a backseat to the collective. Harvey Ruven, vice chair. I mean, Joseph Stalin, vice chair. I mean, what's the difference? Oh, really? Individual rights must take a backseat to the collective? Because that's always worked out well. Okay, so back to Maurice Strong. This is his baby. Okay. Agenda 21 and the climate components of it. This is Maurice Strong's big contribution to mankind. He is a self-described socialist by himself. He said, I'm a socialist, but the outcome always looks capitalist to me, how he described himself. So he thinks of himself as a socialist, but he acts like a capitalist, which is kind of perfect for government, right? Privatize the gains and socialize the losses. So he's a socialist when he wants your money, but he's a capitalist when he wants to make his own money from his, I'm sure that Petro-Canada wasn't run as a socialist company, was it? Or Ajax Petroleum or Canadian Industrial Oil and Gas? I'm assuming he was trying to make money with those operations, because he did. But he's a self-described socialist, which puts him in that Obama category. And what you'll notice is that these guys have their own groups of politicians that they like. And the Maurice Strong clan, might as well use clan when describing this piece of shit, right, is more in line with the Obama thread of government, as opposed to, say, George W. Bush. I'm sure they'll work together. They understand the red-blue paradigm is horseshit. But he's an Obama guy and a Soros partner. So in 1972, he organized the first Earth Summit. This was the Stockholm Conference on the Human Environment, right? This later eventually became, so they're doing these summits every 20 years. So that 72 was the first one that Maurice Strong started, the Stockholm Conference. 92 was the next one. By that time, he had the full United Nations backing of that. That was the Earth Summit in Rio, 92. And then they had the 2012 ones, right? So they do it every 20 years. So in 72, when he did his first conference, it later got rebranded as the UN Environment Program, UNEP. I mentioned this before. And they went on to sponsor the Earth Council, Earth Charter, World Resources Initiative, the Commission for World Governance is not on the up and up, you don't say. The UN's University for Peace. sir, you are guilty of false advertising. The United Nations University for Peace. I bet that class is extremely short. And the World Wildlife Fund. We're going to get to that. I'm saving that one for the end. So don't, if you're thinking that you want to like cut this podcast off halfway through, please don't, because I'm going to wrap up with that one. And that one is going to send you into a fucking fury, I assure you. But we'll get to that later. Don't say I don't love you. I save the best for last. I swear I do. Okay. So first of all, Maurice Strong had this idea that was so fucking insane that even people inside the Security Council put a stop to this. But this is what you have to appreciate his ambition. So his idea was a world government, right? And that's not a new idea, but run by the United Nations, which of course they want. Of course he feels this way. But this is the twist. He wanted a 0.5%, so a half of 1% tax on all monetary transactions happening in the world. Not a 1% tax, half of 1%, but still, half of 1% on all the monetary transactions in the world. And he wanted that money to be collected and used and as the financing mechanism for the United Nations. And that would have worked out to $1.5 trillion every single year. And the Security Council goes, you are out of your ever-loving mind if you think that anybody is going to agree to this. And so the Security Council did not go along with this. So what did Maurice Strong try to do? He tried to get them disbanded. He's not a guy that takes no for an answer. He's like, oh, you say no to me? I'll try and get your entire council destroyed. So he tried, and that failed. And so he had to come up with a new idea. because the idea of a financial tax on all these transactions is genius. If you can get everyone to just agree to it, and then it becomes agreed upon, and then it's just the tax that's factored in, and everyone goes, it's just like a gasoline tax here in the United States. They're like, why is gas so expensive? It's like, I don't know, because there's like 70, 80 cents of tax on every gallon, and everyone's like, oh, I forgot that there's tax on it. Eventually, it would just get normalized, and you'd forget about it. Meanwhile, every year, the United Nations would be collecting $1,500 billion. And of course, you know, they're going to save the world with that. So that went away. But he went back to the drawing board. And you know what he came up with? He said, I've got an even better idea. Let's, instead of taxing the financial institutions, let's tax global warming. Let's create the carbon tax. So you know what Al Gore and Ken Lay were working on with their carbon tax hustle? You can go back and listen to my episode about that. And I've always said, who taught Al Gore the carbon tax hustle? Ken Lay. Well, guess who taught, who really taught both of them the carbon tax hustle is Maurice Strong. He's the guy that taught them how it really works. So, this is what Maurice Strong said in 1992 at that Earth Summit when he was planning to destroy the world. He said, it is clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, consumption of large amounts of frozen and convenience food, use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and work air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable. Where have we heard about us not being allowed to eat meat because it's unsustainable? The World Economic Forum. Very, very convenient. So in this 1992, When Maurice Strong found he founds the Earth Council Initiative, who does he bring in with him as partners? Mikhail Gorbachev, who was just coming out of being the premier of Russia, prime minister, I think. Shimon Peres, same title in Israel. David Rockefeller, who is the king of the world, apparently, 1992, pretty close, and Al Gore. Well, actually, he founded the Earth Council Institute in 92. He then went on to found something called the Earth Charter in 2000. They all sound the same. It's all the same thing, right? It's a global warming con game that uses carbon in the atmosphere as the enemy. They set a arbitrary but a set limit as to what that amount should be. Like, you know, anything above that and we're in deep trouble. So therefore, yearly output has to be at a designated, you know, whatever the number is, it has to be there. Anything above that, you've exceeded it. Anything below that, you've come in under, and you have an extra allotment. Whatever you came in under by, you have that, the ability to sort of keep those, you know, to bankroll that carbon credit that you have and carry it over into the next year, kind of like a tax credit. Carry it over into the next year, or sell it on the open market or in a marketplace controlled by Goldman Sachs and Citigroup or both, definitely rigged, of course, but you think, so where you've got carbon, they've created an arbitrary limit for carbon. And then they say anything that exceeds that, you got to pay us. Well, who put you in charge? First of all, who put you in charge? And that sounds like a scam to me. So you go, well, how would the scam work? Well, the scam would work by you creating like a marketplace, like trading places. Remember the orange juice futures and everything? What if we created, fuck bonds and stocks, what if we created a carbon offset marketplace. And then we just said, all right, this is it. This is where you put all your, this is where you conduct business to deal with the future of climate change. And we're going to have our allotable levels here, and anything above that, you're going to have to pay. And anything below that, you're going to have to go to this marketplace. Maybe you can buy some carbon offsets from that guy over there who didn't use up all of his capacity this last year. He's got some extra. He's going to sell you his. Now you're going to be in compliance. We're going to take a piece of this, because it's a marketplace. And that's how it would work. Oh, sounds interesting. Chicago Climate Exchange started by $1.1 million in grants from a, quote, charity called the Joyce Foundation, started by a rich lumber billionaire to finance things, right? And he started the Joyce Foundation. It was like an up-and-up charity. But somewhere along the road, things turned. And it happened when they put somebody on their board from 1994 to 2002. And that somebody that got on their board really took them in a different direction on the old Joyce Foundation. And one of the things this person decided to do was, hey, let's take some of this money that we're managing and let's start this thing called the Chicago Climate Exchange. Now, I wonder who would be a devious fucker from Chicago who's partnered up with all these scumbags at the United Nations. Who, oh, who do you think it is sitting on the board of the Joyce Foundation and financing an operation like the Chicago Climate Exchange? Well, it is none other than Barack Obama. I know. You're all surprised that he hijacked this operation while he was sitting on their board. And one of the things he did was he would give grant money to legal students, like he'd scholarships and grant money to them if they would write law review articles supporting gun control. Right. So that's kind of where it started off. Joyce Foundation equals gun control. Barack Obama, they brought him in because he's all about gun control. So is the UN, right? They don't want you armed. So they bring him in. He's their gun control guy at the Joyce Foundation. But while he's doing that, he's going, you know, it would be really great. I've been hearing about from all my globalist buddies about this carbon marketplace, carbon offsets. Why don't we create the Chicago Climate Exchange? We'll fund it, right? So, and we'll get all our guys that the Joyce Foundation already funds. Well, who are those? Who are the other people that the Joyce Foundation funds? Why are they people that might be interested in this? Oh, well, you know, it's guys like David Brock from Media Matters. You remember David Brock, right? His boyfriend, James Alifantis, the 49th most powerful man in all of Washington, D.C. You know what industry he's in? He owns a pizza place. Isn't that weird? It's totally weird that he's the 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C., a city with the most powerful people in the world. And the 49th most powerful guy is James fucking Alifantis, who owns a pizza place. What kind of pizza are they serving there? What's the name of this pizza place? I've never heard of it. Oh, it's just Comet Ping Pizza. Don't mind us. Who else is getting money from the Joyce Foundation? Well, the Centers for American Progress is getting money. Who's that? Who runs that? Well, it's just the think tank that's being run by John Podesta. That's all. So, okay. So if there was any question about the Joyce Foundation and what they're up to, I mean, you probably already figured it out since Obama's on their board, but they started giving out money to these different things. And one of the things that they financed when they weren't financing gun control and pedophiles was they gave money to create the Chicago Climate Exchange. And who sits on the board of who did they decide to put on the board of that? Maurice Strong. Because if you want to get something done with climate change and you're looking for a scumbag with ties to the United Nations, Maurice Strong is your guy. Look, Obama put him on the board because he needed his United Nations connections. Very important. Because if you're going to run a grifting Chicago Climate Exchange and funnel trillions of dollars through this marketplace, you better have the right people in place. So Maurice Strong goes straight to the top there. who's the largest investor in this exchange? Oh yeah, Goldman Sachs. Forgot to tell you that. Yeah. They'll be running it. Honorary chairman? Oh, former mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley. Not a scumbag at all, right? Totally on the up and up. So we talk about Gore. We talk about how deeply involved he is with the carbon tax hustle. We understand that he pitches himself as a philanthropist who's, you know, definitely doesn't have a bunch of houses and private jets that he flies around on while simultaneously lecturing us about how we have to take care of the environment or anything. Here's a quote from Maurice Strong, talking about this. He says, I don't know if this was a hot mic or what, but he said, Gore buys his carbon offsets from himself. The Generation Investment Management LLP, an independent, private, owner-managed partnership established in 2004 with offices in London and Washington, of which he is both chairman and founding partner. So Mr. Al Gore himself, Mr. Carbon Tax Hustle, when he exceeds, when they exceed the allotted capacity and he goes and buys carbon offsets, the company that he buys them from is a company that he controls. He's buying the offsets from himself because they're scumbags and they're rigging the marketplaces and they want you to think that this is all real and super important that you get involved in the carbon offsets. They're going to make it mandatory. We've talked about ESG scores. This is a component of it. It's a huge part of it. It's part of the Agenda 2030, which is, like I said, the offset of Agenda 21, the ESG parts. What is that? It ties into this carbon marketplace. And who's running that? Who's the chairman of the exchange? Maurice Strong. Like the worst person around. So if you've ever heard of the Kyoto Protocol and whether or not we're going to be a part of, are we going to drop out or are we going to be a part of it? Just know that the architect of the Kyoto Protocol is Maurice Strong. Okay. So be very careful about blindly saying, oh yeah, we got to be a part of that. It's a global warming thing. America has to be deeply involved in that because it's going to help global warming. Maurice Strong started it. He's the guy. So just be very careful. Maurice Strong was the founder of Canada's neo-colonial external aid policies towards Africa. Okay. What were those policies towards Africa? Zero growth. That is the official policy. Zero growth. Again, the people that claim to be saving the world are using that as a cover story to destroy the world. You don't go and help Africa when your goal is zero growth, but you must be obedient to the IMF and the World Bank. And what's their policy? Zero growth. In the third world countries, zero growth. So Maurice Strong describes a fictional book that he's fantasizing about writing. He gives this quote. This is a crazy fucking quote. But he's doing an interview, and he's saying to the interviewer, I have this idea about writing this fictional book. And so this is what he said. He said, when describing this book that he may write in the future, he didn't write it, but he's talking about it. And to be perfectly honest, there's no book. There never was a book. It's just he's telling you what they want to do. He said, what if a small group of world leaders were to conclude that the principal risk to the earth comes from the actions of the rich countries? And if the world is to survive, those rich countries would have to sign an agreement reducing their impact on the environment. Will they do it? The group's conclusion is no. The rich countries won't do it. They won't change. So, in order to save the planet, the group decides, isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? Fascinating. He's fantasizing about writing a book where the most powerful leaders in the world get together and tell the most powerful nations, you have to stop polluting, but they won't stop polluting. So we destroy those nations because we have to save the planet. Always a cover story. We're going to save you by destroying you. Whose plan is that? Who has a plan to do just the exact same thing? The World Economic Forum. So it takes me to the final two pieces of this episode. I told you I'd save the best for last. Maurice Strong died 2015, but he was eulogized by a very prominent person. I'll let you take a wild guess who this is. I'll tell you when I get done with the quote. But this is the eulogy of Maurice Strong by somebody that you'll know. He was my mentor since the creation of the forum, a great friend, an indispensable advisor, and for many years, a member of our foundation board. Without him, the forum would not have achieved its present significance. I am grateful to him for his guidance and partnership. I will always remember the hundreds of hours where we exchanged ideas. I will miss not only his advice, but also his humor. In short, a great person has left us, but he certainly contributed to make the world a better place. By Klaus Schwab. Maurice Strong wanted to end nuclear power, which you might think sounds like a good idea, but remember, their plan is zero growth. They don't want nuclear power because it's a cheap form of energy. They don't want that. So he destroyed Canada's nuclear program. But he was very much a philanthropist. And by philanthropist, I mean full-on rapist. He was the vice president of the World Wildlife Fund. You remember when the WWF wrestling had to change their name to the WWE because they got sued by the World Wildlife Fund, WWF, the original WWF, that's out there raising money for pandas and things like that, saving the environment and everything. From 1978 to 1981, Maurice Strong was their vice president. Would you like to take a wild guess who started the World Wildlife Fund? None other than Mr. Virus himself, Prince Philip. So before you give money to these charities, be very sure that you know who they are. Because if you think you're saving the pandas, you're putting money in Prince Philip and Maurice Strong's pocket. Because they run that grift. And you've been had. Hey, if you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. You can go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. My books are available on Amazon. The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, I wrote with Jeff Berwick, a number one bestseller. The Octopus of Global Control and the newest one, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards, are all available there. I'll talk to you soon.